Today we celebrate All Saints Day. Today is the day that we celebrate with thanksgiving those who have led exemplary lives of faithfulness. What image comes to your mind when you hear the word saint? Does the word saint conjure up an image of one of the apostles? Peter, Paul? Does a saint of your image come with robes and a halo? Is a beard included? Or does the word saint immediately bring to mind the face of the little old lady who always taught Sunday school or was the head of the altar guild? How about the man who ushered here every Sunday? Is your mind broad enough to have the image of the well-loved, long-serving sexton as the image of a saint? What comes to your mind when you hear the word saint? Jesus apparently has a list of characteristics for those who will be called saints. We hear his top 10 saintly virtues in our reading from Matthew, in the passage known as the Beatitudes. Beatitude means, after all, supremely blessed or happiness. That's what we would envision for our saints, isn't it? Who could imagine a grumpy saint or a harried saint or a saint who did not exemplify perfection and harmony in every way and every day? Saints are perky and happy and content with their lot, even if their lot is the most dismal of all. That's how we expect a saint to be. But it's not what Jesus seems to expect of saints. Jesus might not have even expected folks to be called saints at all. The term itself almost seems contradictory to the humility and servant example of Christ. Perhaps Mother Teresa of Calcutta, now Saint Teresa, was the best example of a saint, one who works tirelessly to broaden the kingdom of God and is entirely incensed by the mention of her being canonized, officially deemed a saint by the Roman Catholic Church. Apparently, for many Episcopalians, saint, and especially in terms of All Saints Day, is paired with the song, "I Sing a Song of the Saints of God." For those of you who are new to the Episcopal Church, this may come as quite an eye-opener or even a surprise. Let me tell you, the vast majority of those born into the Episcopal Church, those self-proclaimed cradle Episcopalians, which is not the vast majority of the Episcopal Church, for them, "I Sing a Song of the Saints of God" is the anthem of the church. On Tuesday of this week, which was actually the day of All Saints Day, Facebook was loaded with Episcopalians quoting phrases and verses of this hymn as their status. The Bishop of Florida, John Howard, quoted it in his weekly reflection. It was the top tune of the day in Episcopal circles. The verses of "I Sing a Song of the Saints of God" speak to the lives of saints of God. Not famous saints like Paul and Mary or Peter and Martha, but ordinary people, at least in terms of 19th century England. The song was written in 1898, and the words at the time were radical. The song speaks of a doctor and a queen and a shepherdess, a soldier, a priest, and an unknown person who was martyred by a fierce wild beast. In some places, the words have been changed so that one was a beast and one was killed by a fierce wild priest. Apparently, they think that's clever. Importantly, those listed are not all of the highest echelons. Yes, one was a queen, probably Elizabeth, but one was also a shepherdess. And shepherdess, while sounding bucolic and pastoral, would be one of the lowliest of society. People who hang out with sheep do not smell good. The fact that she was in the lineup was a very inclusive statement, one that might unnerve our sensibilities as much as including the most outcast of our culture, those living on the streets or performing the jobs that we won't or can't do. Doctors in that day were not as highly regarded as they are in our time. Often they were met with great suspicion and mistrust. The fact that they were included in the litany of saints is broad indeed. This Episcopal top 10 hit also describes where we might encounter such saints. Again, for the time, the words were radical. You can meet them in school or in lanes or at sea, in church or in trains or in shops, if you want to sing along, go ahead, or at tea. Well, 3 out of 7 is not really good odds for meeting saints. When was the last time you were at tea? Have you been in any lanes lately? Obviously, I'm pushing this a bit, because this much-beloved tune can seem a bit antiquated if we're merely singing it lovingly and don't realize how inclusive and progressive its words were, and moreover, what this song can model for us today. Saints, to the author of this tune, are all sorts and conditions of people, not just the highly revered, well-known, and famous. Not only that, but saints live ordinary day-to-day lives. They're folks like you and me, and folks not at all like you and me. Saints historically have had some pretty colorful lives. Protestant churches don't have the same reverence for the saints that the Roman Catholic Church does. Protestants are much more comfortable with saints being folks like me, as our hymn proclaims. In the Roman Catholic Church, to be acknowledged as a saint, one must meet very strict criteria. This is a place where the Episcopal Church leans strongly toward our Protestant end. We don't require 3 miracles to occur in the name of the individual or other signs of this nature. Sainthood, in our understanding, is much more internal, perhaps even personal. Still, even in the Roman Catholic Church, with its strict requirements of sainthood, beatification as it is called, like the Beatitudes, they acknowledge some less than perfect folks in the list. Saint Jerome, he was known to be quite a curmudgeon. The brief biography of him on his feast day in the church calendar notes his irascible disposition. Saint Jerome the Grand. One of my favorite curious saints is Saint Rose of Lima. If she lived today, her mental health status would certainly be questioned. Rose spent years practicing mortification, a term that basically means abusing your body. She did this in order to grow closer to Christ. Many people have performed such practices in order to better understand the suffering of Christ. Rose took this to the extreme. She spent her last years sleeping on a bed of crushed glass. I can't find anywhere in Scripture that Christ encourages such acts of physical torment. Saints, you gotta love them. They come in all sizes and sorts. They're happy and sad, meek and boisterous, lively and downright depressed. And that's okay. It seems to be okay with Jesus anyway. The Beatitudes don't even mention perky or patient, although I'm fairly sure that patience is expected, although unspoken. Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the peacemakers, Blessed are the persecuted for righteousness' sake. And finally, blessed are you when people revile and persecute you on my account. The underlying assumption is that those enduring these sometimes very difficult situations would do so with great stoicism, perhaps even the British stiff upper lip. But you know what? Jesus doesn't say that. Jesus doesn't say how one should endure, with the exception of blessed are the meek. This list of Beatitudes is more about the heart of the would-be saint, not how that looks on the outside. Apparently, you can't judge a saint by the exterior in all cases. Imagine that. That's really good news. All the excuses that we've given over all these years. My mouth is too foul. I'm too impatient. I don't pray enough. I don't visit prisoners. I haven't been to Curcio. I can't name all the books of the Bible. None of those things matter. None of those things are on Jesus' top 10 list of saintly virtues. One was a doctor. One was a queen. And one was a shepherdess on the green. One was a soldier. One was a priest. One was killed by a fierce wild beast. All sorts and conditions of folks are saints. Even grumpy old men like Jerome and crazy young women like Rose of Lima. And all of us in between. You know the best line from I Sing the Song of the Saints of God is the very last one. It says, and I mean to be